This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Abam. We're continuing in Maseches Ksubos, Daf HaShavua, Daf Kuf Gimel, Amud Aleph. Daf Kuf Gimel, Amud Aleph. Okay, we have a Geshmaka Amud today. Remember, the Mishnah said if somebody married a woman, he said, look, I'm marrying you on condition that I'm going to support your daughter for 5 years. So he commits to support his stepdaughter for 5 years. Then he divorces her. He still has to support her for 5 years. If this woman marries another person who commits to support the stepdaughter, so then the stepdaughter will be supported food-wise by the second husband, but the first husband has to provide cash to the stepdaughter. So the Gemara tells a story. Hu gavra de oigarle rechaya lechavre letchina. There's a guy, he rented a mill to his friend, and the payment would be letchina, grinding. Basically, the renter is not paying rent, but rather he's paying by working on the mill as a way of rent. So he's going to basically mill enough food for the person who's allowing him to use the mill. That's the rent. So the person who rented it out says, you don't have to pay me, just rent my grain for me. In the end, the guy who rented it out became wealthy. Zavin rechaya v'chamra. And now he bought his own millstone, and he bought a donkey, and he doesn't need the guy who rented it to mill his grain for him. Amarle, he said, look, ara idna havas tachinina gabach. Until now, you ground for me, and that's how you paid me. Hashta havli agra. Now I want money. Until now, I let you off easy. I let you pay me in work, but I don't need the work. Now I have a donkey, so now I need cash. So sav Ravina lemeimar. Ravina thought to say, "Hainu masnisin." This is precisely what we learned in the Mishnah. That let's say, in the Mishnah, if if you have one guy who married a woman and he committed to support the daughter, and then he left, then the marriage was terminated, and another person married this woman and committed to support the daughter. So halacha is they can both get together and say that we're going to support the daughter. Lo You can have both of them say, "Hare anu zanin oisa ke'achad." We're going to support her together. Ela echad zana, one feeds her, ve'echad nesin ladame mezanis, and one gives her cash. So here also, the halacha should be that basically, what do we see from here? That you only give food if it's needed. Otherwise, you pay money. So too here. L'chaira, he only was allowed to pay by working because the one who rented it out needed the work. But now that he doesn't need the work, he should have to pay cash, just like in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that's not that the two cases are not analogous at all. Amrli Rav Avira, Rav Avira said to Ravina, Midami, is it similar? Hasam chad kreisa isla. There, the girl, her daughter, only has one stomach. She can only eat once. Tarte kreisa isla, she doesn't have two stomachs. So therefore, she could say, I want money, because I can't eat twice. But hacha, here, the guy who rented it out says, I don't understand. What do you lose if I, instead of paying you cash, work for you? Because you need to eat anyway. So therefore, Tchoin v'zavin, you grind and sell the grain. Tchoin v'oisav, and in other words, tchoin v'zavin, you're going to grind and sell. So in other words, what I grind for you, you'll sell tchoin v'oisav. And what you grind, you'll use for your family. In other words, you don't lose out anything, because you can always sell what I grind and you'll eat what you grind. So by the case of the Mishnah, a person could only eat once, even though maybe, why don't we say the same thing in the Mishnah? Let the daughter get food twice and she'll sell it. Apparently that's not an option. But when the guy originally made a deal that you're going to grind for me, it seems like that will not cause him a loss. Even though now he has a way to grind, he could simply sell what you're grinding for him. It says Gemara V'lai Amran, this was only said Ela Delesle Tchina L'Reichaya. That's only if there's not enough grinding for his mill. So what's happening over here? What? This is only if there isn't enough grinding to keep the mill going. So therefore, if the mill is going to be empty, and you're going to require the person rented out to pay money, he's going to lose out because there's not enough work to keep the mill going full time. But if there's enough work to keep it going full time, for such a case, we would force them to not to give up a we'd force them not to act as if their midas sadaim is, we would force them to help out the other person at no loss to themselves. Because if anyway the mill has enough people to work it, so it will not be a loss for the person who rented it to pay cash. So then in that case we say, why would you not pay cash to help out the other guy? Look at Rashi. When do we say you don't have to give cash? He can't find someone to grind for pay at any time. Therefore we say to him, therefore he says to him, why should I sit not doing anything? I'd rather grind for you because I have nothing else to do without paying money. But if he could find someone to grind for payment, so then let him grind and pay cash, because otherwise it's zenen v'zelei chaser. So in such a circumstance we say koifin amidas sadoim, it's zenen v'zelei chaser. Why should this guy is benefiting and this one is not losing if he doesn't do the taiva? In other words, he's not losing out by paying cash.
Indicated the stepfather, why should he committed to the bait to give food, not to give money. He had the whole four. He can give her the food. Why should now he have to go and pay her cash? Or we say that he would have sell his food that he had to get the cash, or that how we reason that one out? He only committed to food.
He committed to food, but she doesn't need the food. But the Gemara says that his commitment to food was like mamish chayvos, as a debt. So long as she needs food, he pays that debt by giving food. But if she doesn't need the food, I mean, why can't he say, look, I don't have cash, I have food, I want to give you the food, that's all I obligated myself to do. So Gemara says, look, she doesn't have two stomachs, and
that's not his problem. He committed to food. To mention that happened to Socrates. He committed to food. Why are we putting him in that situation? So let her go and sell the food.
I mean, let him go and sell the food.
Let her go.
Let him give the food, and she should have to sell it. The Mishnah even said that if these guys die, this stepdaughter collects from the Chasim Meshubadim. It's mamish hischayvus. Say, why is it hischayvus? He only was mechayv himself to pay to give food.
The Rashi accepts it, though he doesn't really explain why.
Mm-hmm. Rashi says, "V'af abish loy pasak lo adamim metchila ela mezoynois, chivu lasis demeim kishyeshem zanis memakam acher." Right, Rashi says, statement of fact. Even though he made up to give mezoynois, we say that they have to pay money if she has mezoynois. So too, even though he made up only to grind, but now that the renter... Now that the person who's renting it out doesn't need it, you should have to pay cash. I hear it. Tzarech biyar. Says the Mishnah, Amana sha'amra, e'ev shilazos m'beisah. Let's say an Amana says, you know, I'm not moving from my husband's house. I can't do it. Ein ayoshin yicham loymar la. The inheritors, the heirs, cannot say to her, L'chi leveis avich va'anu zanin oisach. They can't say, look. If she says, look, I'm not moving from my husband's house, the Yorshim can't say, look, go to your father's house and we'll support you there. No, they can't kick her out. Ela zanin oisach. They support her in her husband's house. V'noisin la mother l'fi kvayda. And they give her residence in accordance with her standing. Meaning, she has a right to live in his house. Amra, let's say she says, "Yef she lost in Zbeis Abba, I'm not moving from my father's house." Then they could say, "Chom Yeshem Leimala," the inheritors could say, "Im at etzlenu yesh lachem zaynus. If you want to be by us, we'll feed you. Im ein at etzlenu ein lachem zaynus. So if you're not with us, we're not going to feed you." Im hoisa toyenes, if she claims nay shehi yulada v'hin yuladim, if she says, look, I'm a young girl, you're young boys, it's not proper that we live together, zanin oisa, they would have to support her v'hibu v'saviha, even if she's in her father's house. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, mishameshes b'madar k'darusha mishamesh v'chai bala. She uses the residence the way she used it in the life of her husband. She could use the slaves and the maidservants the way she used in the lifetime of the husband. She could use the pillows and the blankets the same way she did in the lifetime of her husband. This is what the husband wrote in the Ksuba. You will live in my house. You're going to sit in my house and you're going to be satisfied and fed from my estate. Kol yimei megar amalus alvesi, all the days of your being a almana in my house. So what did he say? That as long as you're in my house, you could use it the same way you used to. So basically, we're saying, from the fact that he said Bevesi Mishtameshes B'madar Kedarsha Mishtameshes B'chaye Bala. However, Tani Rabbi Yosef told Bevesi, you could use my house V'loi Beviksi, you can't use my hut. Meaning you could only use my residence if it's sufficient, but if it's meager, then the halacha is you have to leave. You can no longer, you cannot stay here. My Yarshim could stay here. So basically the din that she stays in the house is only if it's big enough for everyone. If it's not big enough for everyone, then she has to leave. Amar of Nachman, Yisoymim Shamachru Madar Almana Layasav Laikum. If Yisoymim sell the residence of the Almana, they did nothing because it belongs to her. When the husband dies, she inherits it. Why is this different than what Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? If Yisoymim, they got there first and they sold the small amount of property before the Yisoymois got there, Masha Machru Machru, what is sold is sold. Right, we learned earlier that if there's a very small Yerusha of Karka, it goes to the girls. But what if the boys get there first and they sell it? The halacha is it's sold. Now, even though it doesn't belong, it's not theirs. It's supposed to go to the girls, but if they jump the gun and they sell it, it's effective. So too, why can't Yisoymim sell the residence of the Almana? Says the Gemara, "Hasam le mishtabdi la mechayim, hacha mishtabdi la mechayim." Over there, the property did not have a lien on it when the father was alive. So therefore, what? So the Yisoymim could sell it. You see, the din that Yisoymim get a small amount of property is that after the father dies and there's a small amount of property, the Yisoymim inherit it, and the Yisoymim could then use it. But if the Yisoymim jump the gun, it's an effective sale. But by a house, Mishtavli L'Michayim, the house had a lien on it from when the Baal was alive, so the Yisoymim cannot jump the gun and sell it. It's not only that the Almana has, it's not the pshat that the house goes to the Yisoymim and the Almana has the right to use it. It's the Almana inherits the house. Okay. Amar Abaye, Madar Nektinan. We have a tradition, right? Like we maintain, Madar Almana Shnafel, the residence of Almana that fell down, Ena Yarshim Chayam of Naisai. The Yarshim are not responsible to build it up, because only the house as it stands was Meshubit to the Almana, but once it falls down, it no longer is. The Almana doesn't have any control over it. Tani Nami Hachi, Mother Almana Shanafal, the residents of an Almana that fell down, Ina Yarshim of Naisai, the Yarshim do not have to rebuild it. V'loy oid el afilu hi oy meres. Even if she says, you know what, Hanichuni, just leave me alone, v'evnenu mishali, and I'll build it on my own, from my own funds. Ein shoymin la. We don't listen to her. We do not listen to her. The halacha is only the house itself, and once it's in ruin, then she has no rights on it. Boy, Abai, what about Shib Tzamai? What if she made renovations in order to ensure that it doesn't fall down? Does she maintain control over it? Can she say, well, I prevented it from falling down, so I'm allowed to stay here? Or could they say, well, if you wouldn't have done that, it would have fell down. And if it would have fell down, it doesn't belong to you. So we have to view it as if you didn't do any renovation. And in that case, you have no rights to this. Teiku, Eliyahu Hanavi will come and clarify this. Fine. What if
actively go and blow up the house? If they go now actively and blow up the house, they cause the damage directly. Would we then say all bets are off then? Is that case?
L'chaira, they would have to pay her, right? Because it's hers. They can't sell it, so, right? If they can't sell it, so if they damage it, l'chaira, they have to pay her, right? What if Amrav, she said, Efshi, I can't leave my father's house. So the halacha, they could say, look, we're not supporting you if so long as you're living there. V'leisvula kiyasa hasam. Why don't they have to give her food when she's by her father over there? Masai leil Rafuna, dam Rafuna. Rafuna said, meaning, like, think about it. They have to support her. So they have to support her. Mali, if she's in the house with them, or if she's in the father's house. You know what the difference is? It would be easier for them to support her if she's in their house, because there are already six of them. So to support a seventh, that's easy to do. But to send money just for one girl, that's much more expensive. This is explained by the concept of mazel, namely that when she is just another number, it's easier to... it's easier to support her because everyone works together, or the zuchus or the mazel of everyone is more beneficial than if she's by herself. And therefore, the fact that she's leaving, and it's more costly for them, as opposed to if she's together with them, it's cost effective for them to provide for her. Masayli Rav Huna, this is a support to the teaching of Rav Huna, the Rav Huna. Berkas Habayis Beruba. The bracha of a house is in accordance with the numbers. Basically, if you have one kid, it costs the same amount as if you have 10 kids. It's the same thing. People wonder, you know, how do they have such big families? It costs the same amount. What do you mean? But it doesn't. It does. First of all, everyone helps each other. Second of all, you have more mazel. You have more mazel. It's just as easy to support a big family as a small family. Zareinu v'chaspeinu yarbekachal. The more people in the house, and then they get married, then you support them. And then you have grandchildren, and you support them. And then the family grows. It doesn't get harder. It's the same. It remains the same. It doesn't get harder. It's easier. Birchas habayis beruba. The bracha that comes to a house is commensurate with the numbers. Says the Gemara, okay. But it's not like it's not like she's free. It's not like if she would be living with them, she would be free. It costs money. Maybe they would get a break, you know. Maybe this mazel svara, you know, is a percentage. It's 10% cheaper. I mean, at the end of the day, two kids are more expensive than one kid, and three are more than two. Maybe it's not 100% more. So the second kid is 70% more, and the third kid is 50% more, and the fourth. But we have to do the math, says the Gemara. Hachanami, we do the math. We take out the special mazel calculator, and we calculate how much more is it to support her in her father's house than if she would be in their house. Now, I'm not sure how they make this calculation. I would love to see the formula they use to make this calculation, because then you can know, you tell people, have another kid, and they say it's going to cost X amount of dollars. No, you take out the calculator, you say, you know, you're not doing the math. The mazel calculator says one kid is $100,000, two kids are $102,000. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, from here we see Lashon Chachamim Bracha. The words of the rabbis are here to teach us about how to get more bracha. Lashon Chachamim Oishar. The wording of the rabbis teach us how to make more money. Lashon Chachamim Marpe. the words of the rabbis are here to bring healing. Bracha, the words of the rabbis bring bracha. Hadamrim, what we just learned, that the more people in the household, the more blessing. He said, how can I have, I'm going to have 10 more guests for Yom Tov? I'm going to have 4 more guests for Yom Tov? Don't you know how much it costs for Yom Tov? Per person, every Yom Tov is $1,500. I'm going to have 4 guests, another $6,000. Nah, pal, if you're having 8 people in the house anyway, another 4 people not going to cost you more. How does that work? Don't do the math. You'll see by the end of it, it ended up costing the same amount. So that's the first thing. Bracha hadamran. Oishar, how do the words of rabbis teach you how to make money? The time we learned in Mishnah. Hamoicher peres chaver, someone who sells fruits to his friend. Mashach, if the buyer didn't mashich of loy madad, but he didn't measure it, kana is kana mashich as a kinyan. Madad, if he measured loy mashach. Now it's talking about the seller is measuring it, because if the buyer is measuring it, he's doing hagvah. So madad, if the seller measured out loy mashach, and the buyer didn't do mashich loy kana, he wasn't kana it. V'mhaya pikeach, if the buyer is smart, soiches mekame, he's going to rent the place where the fruit is, and then he'll be koina the fruit with agav. No, Rashi says he's koina through kinyan chatzar, and this way the seller can't back out of the deal. So the rabbis are teaching us how to make money, to make sure that your sales are standing. Marpe, where do we see the words of the rabbis bring healing? The Tanah we learned in the Mishnah, Lo yilois adam chitim v'yanuach agave makasim pesach. A person should not chew wheat and leave it on his makah on Pesach, mipnei shemachmitzais, because they'll become chametz. So, think about it. Here, the chachamim are trying to teach you what you need to avoid for Pesach. But it says, don't use it on Pesach. That's mashma, the rest of the year you could use it. So the Mishnah is teaching you how to heal yourself from a wound, that chew wheat and put it on a wound. All you doctors out there, right? If somebody gets a burn, one of the best things to put on a burn is flour, right? Not sure why, but that's what they say. So if you have a wound, you chew wheat, and that will be some kind of bandage. Fine. Now we have one of the really most well-known stories in Shas. The death, the patira of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the patira of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, B'shas p'tirasei shel Rebbe Amar. At the time of Rebbe's demise, he said, Levanai ani tzarach, I need my children. Nichnasu banav etzlai, his children came to him, Amar lehem, he said to them, Hizaru b'chvaidimchem, be careful in the honor of your mother. Ner yehei dolok b'mekaymai, a candle should burn in my place, shulchan yehei arach b'mekaymai, a table should be set in my place. Mita te mutsas b'mekayma. And a bed should be made in her place. I guess in the place of the mita. Yosef Chafni Shimon Efrasi. Yosef from HaChafni, from Haifa. Shimon Efrasi from Ephraim. Heim Shimshuni b'chayai. They served me when I was alive. V'heim yishamshu b'maisi. They should serve me when I die. Presumably it means they should bury him. But we're going to see not. Now, what did Rebbe mean? Hizar b'chvaidimcham. Be careful in the honor of your mother. Dairaisi hi. The honor of a mother is midairaisa. D'chsev kabiris avich v'asimecha. So why did he have to tell them to honor their mother? Honoring a mother is dairaisa. Says Gemara, Eishas Av Havai. It was their father's wife. So therefore he had to warn them to take care of her. Now, it's very interesting. What in the world does this have to do with anything, this whole story? Simply because we're learning about the responsibilities that a husband has to the almana. So the Gemara says, "But Eisha Sabnami Daraisa." It's biblical to honor your father's wife. The Tanya Kabed Es Avicha V'Esimecha Es Avicha Zu Eisha Savicha. Es is your father's wife. V'Esimecha Zu Bal Imcha. It's your mother's husband. Says the Gemara, Vav Yisera, and the extra Vav, L'Rabbis Es Achicha Hagadol, to include your older brother. I always like to be mezakeh my younger siblings in this very important mitzvah of Es Achicha Hagadol. You know, it's an underrated mitzvah that I like to be mezakeh my siblings in. You have to honor your older brother. Says the Gemara, Hani Mimechayim, the din you have to honor your mother or even your father's wife is only when they're alive. But to honor your father's wife after your father dies, it doesn't hold true, because the mitzvah to honor your father's wife is, it's an extension of the honor of your father. But if your father's not alive, there's no da'iraisa to honor your father's wife. So the Gemara continues explaining what Rabbi said. Ner yehe dalek b'mekaymai, the candle should burn in its place. Shulchan yehe arach b'mekaymai, the table should be set in its place. Mita tehe mutzas b'mekaymai, the bed should be made. Mai taima, what's the reason? Get a load of this. Kol bei shimshi, every Friday night have a asa lebeisei. Rabbi would come back home. Can you imagine? Rabbi came back home every Friday. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, he came back not in burial shrouds, but in his big day Shabbos, and he patered his family in Kiddush. Ay, la mesim chavshim, mesim are not chayiv in Kiddush, they can't be might say someone else. No, he's not a regular mace. Regular mace is chavshim mitzvahs. Tzadikim are chayim upoitrim b'kiddush. Asoy shivavasa, the neighbor was knocking on the door. Kokariaba was calling on the door. Amra Ais Amse, the maidservant of Rebbe's house, said, "Shtiku, quiet, stop banging. The Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe's here. Basically, stop banging. You're disturbing Rebbe. Why are you banging?" Kivin the Shama Shuvlay Asa. When Rebbe heard that word got out that he's coming back Friday night, Shuvlay Asa, he didn't come anymore. Shuvlay Tzilaz Al Tzadikim Rishaynim. He didn't want to cause any suspicion on earlier generations. And people are going to say, what, the earlier generations were not great enough to come back Friday night? Only Rebbe? And what about the Tanoim? They didn't come home Friday night? Yosef Chofni Shimon Efrasi Heim Shimshuni B'chaye. They serve me while I was alive. Heim Yishamshuni B'chaye, they will serve me when I die. Savim Minei, they thought, he meant in this world that they would bury him. But when they saw that they died before Rebbe, so obviously it didn't mean that they were going to help with the burial. They realized what Rebbe meant was, they serve me in this world, they'll serve me upstairs in Shamayim. And why did Rebbe need to let us know that they're going to serve him? He didn't want anyone to say that they must have done something wrong. And until now, it was in the merit of Rebbe that helped them stick around. because think about it, they died right before Rebbe. So Rebbe was afraid people would badmouth them and say, you know what, they must have done Navira. And since Rebbe was about to die, so then the world didn't need them anymore. So they died right before Rebbe, and the only reason they were kept alive was because what they did for Rebbe in his lifetime. So therefore, Rebbe sort of covered up for them by saying, no, they'll serve me up in Shamayim, and they did not commit any sins in the Shamayim. Okay? So we will we'll hold it over here. Bezus Hashem, Sunday night, we'll try Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, so that next week will be good. I'm away next week, but I'll be here Sunday night. And then the following week, Bezus Hashem, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I hope regular schedule, okay? Thank you very much, everyone. Gute Nacht, and we have a good share tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Kol Tov. Be well.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.